again, appreciate the wonderful hospitality and love that we felt here, and just ask that we continue to pray in this afternoon service. If you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 62. Said, now the next day, that day followed the day of the preparation. The chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. The chief priests and the scribes came together, but it wasn't for something good. No. They came together and they come unto Pilate. And they, as the wicked of this world will typically do, they said something that was true and mixed it with a great falsehood. They called Jesus a deceiver. There is nothing further from the truth than that.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus is truth. Yes. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
He is the truth.
Right.
He told Pilate. Pilate said, what is truth? You know, I'm sure Pilate saw so much in his position and saw so many lies and so many deceptions that he didn't really know what truth was anymore. I can identify with that. When we see so many lies and so much deception out in the world, sometimes we may throw up our hands and say, what is the truth? The Lord Jesus responds to that statement by Pilate, what is truth?
Yes, he did.
He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. And everybody that is of the truth heareth my voice. I'll tell you, little child of God, if we want to know what the truth is this afternoon, we need to look at the words of our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. He is truth. So there could be nothing further from the truth than to call him a deceiver. That was a blatant, outright lie from the pits of hell.
Yes, it was.
But what they said, Jesus said, was true. That is, on the third day, I will rise again.
Yeah.
We love the shouts of the Bible, and I tell you, I love the I wills of Christ.
Yes.
He said, I will rise again. Now, we come to the context here where the Lord Jesus has already been crucified on the cross of Calvary. Now, I can only imagine what all his disciples had gone through and seeing and understanding and knowing the great suffering that the Lord Jesus would do. He had been put forth in a trial of mockery. There had been a crown of thorns placed on his head, a crown of mockery. Oh, they say, oh, you're a king, here's your crown. And they thrust upon his head a crown that I'm told by history had thorns probably a couple inches long, and they crushed it on his head.
Yeah.
They gave him a staff, said, oh, you're a king, here's your scepter. And they took that staff, they blindfolded him, and they would take his own staff, his kingly scepter, and hit him on the head with it and say, prophesy unto us, who smote thee? They mocked him. He endured the cruel insults of the religious leaders of the day, who said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he really be the Christ, if he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross and we'll believe him. And they mocked the Son of God.
Yeah.
They spit on him. They plucked the hairs from his beard. They put a robe upon him. The soldiers took his clothes and gambled them away.
Yeah.
The king above all kings and the Lord above all lords. In John chapter 9, Pilate, John chapter 19, and then even backing up into 18, three times Pilate would say, "I find no fault in him." Three times he would say that. But he turned to what the people were saying. Pilate knew that at this time of the year, he could release unto them a prisoner. And he thought in his mind, these wicked men, the Bible said he knew that for jealousy they had delivered him, because they were jealous of him. Pilate thought, surely, if I offer to release this man, Barabbas. Barabbas was a seditionist. He was an insurrectionist. And he was a murderer. Pilate thought, surely, if I offer unto them, do you want me to release Jesus or release Barabbas? That surely they'd pick release Jesus. They wouldn't want this hardened criminal, this murderer on the streets. But you know what they did? The religious leaders persuaded the people. When Jesus said, "Who will I release unto you?" And they said, "Release unto us Barabbas." And he said, "What shall I do with Jesus?" They said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And I'll tell you, that's what man in the natural state will always do. Man in the natural state will never pick the Lord Jesus. They'll pick Barabbas. Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" The Jews said, "We have no king but Caesar." Some of the saddest words in all the Bible to me. The Jews had in their writings, if you look at the history of the Jews, they had a saying in their writings, "We have no king but God." But they turned that on its head and went after the desires of Satan himself and said, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify Jesus. Crucify him." They had endured all that. Can you imagine being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ and see your child suffer all that? Perhaps the words of Simeon came back in her when she had the little baby Jesus in the temple. Simeon looked and said, "A sword shall pierce through thine own heart also." Don't you know a sword pierced through Mary's heart on that day? But Jesus, still looking at the welfare of his mother, looked at John. Said, "John, behold your mother." Looked at his mother and said, "Behold your son." Even in his great agony, though the Bible tells us he was marred more than any man, that as all men had ever suffered under persecution and torment in the history of this world, the Lord Jesus suffered more than that. He still had the thoughts of his mother. I'm going to tell you, he still had all the thoughts of the elect family of God. We were the joy that was set before him. His mind was on his people and on his sheep and on God's little children as he died upon the cross of Calvary. He had said numerous times, "I will rise again." The disciples had missed that precious truth. If we go very quickly back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it said, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Now that's pretty plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's look at the next chapter, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 22. While they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again." They were exceedingly sorry. We go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto him, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again." Three times he told them.
Yeah.
But it went over their heads. Maybe they didn't want to believe that Jesus would suffer like that. When the Lord Jesus is crucified, they're in despondency. At that moment, they don't see the victory of the cross. They don't see at that moment when Jesus said, "It is finished." They weren't observing that he had finished the work and he had won a great victory on the cross that day. But at first, they see it as a defeat. But Jesus made a promise. "On the third day, I will rise again."
Amen. Praise God.
Let's continue back in Matthew 27. They said, "That deceiver said, while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.' Pilate said unto them, 'Ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can.' So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch." Pilate's words are interesting. He says, "Go your way. Make it as sure as ye can." I don't hear a lot of confidence in Pilate's words. You remember Pilate's wife had told him something. She said, "Don't have anything to do with that just man," talking about Jesus, "for I've suffered many things in a dream because of him." She's basically telling her husband, "Don't you do anything to him. This man's innocent. He's a just man. He's an innocent man. Don't you punish him, Pilate." And Pilate kind of tried not to, but he let the voice of the rulers and of the people take control to do something he knew was wrong. Sometimes we can do that in our life. We can let the voice of the crowd convince us to do something we know is wrong. They said, "We want to watch. We're afraid his disciples will steal his body away and they'll act like he rose from the dead." So Pilate gives them what they asked for. He gives them a watch. They made the sepulcher sure. They seal the stone. And they set a watch. Now I'm going to tell you, the entire authority and the entire power of the Roman government and of their military is being put in this effort. The government of Rome was the most powerful government on the face of the globe. When they say seal the stone, that meant that the authority of Pilate, the ruler, Back in those days, the rulers had rings upon their hand, and they would put their rings, which was like a stamp, and they put it in hot wax. When they said seal the stone, that meant the royal imperial authority of Rome was going to seal the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to seal that stone as a signification that the entire authority of the Roman government is sealing this stone, and it will not be unsealed by the power of Rome. Not only did they put their imperial kingly authority on it, they put their military authority on it. They gave them Roman soldiers, some of the best soldiers upon the face of the globe as far as military fighting. They said, we're going to send our soldiers and we're going to guard the tomb of Christ. They'll be sure nobody's going to go into that tomb and nothing's going to come out. But against all the power of men, against all the authority of all the imperial kingly authority that man could ever muster, against that stands the words and the power of Jesus Christ, the King above all kings and the Lord above all lords, who said, they're going to take me, they're going to crucify me, they're going to scourge me, they're going to mock me, but after 3 days, I will rise again.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, King Jesus kept his promise. On the third day, he came forth in power. On the third day, he came forth in glory. On the third day, he busted out of that tomb.
Yeah.
He lives today.
Yes.
Because Jesus lives, we shall live also.
Amen.
I'm going to close with a few verses here in 1 Corinthians that shows what a great blessing us believing in the resurrected Christ is for us today. Because so much of what we believe hinges on the fact that Jesus kept his promise. And when he said, after 3 days, I will rise again, that he did. And we can now look to an empty tomb because our Jesus is risen.
Yes, he is.
1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you, there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain. Had the power of man stood, the kingly and military authority of Rome stood, our preaching would be in vain today. Your faith would be in vain today. But praise God, it's not in vain.
Right.
Because Jesus kept his word, and the power of Jesus is always stronger than men. And he kept his word on the third day, I will rise again. And he did. Yea, and it said, if he had not risen, we are found false witnesses of God. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. You see, our sins weren't washed away in the resurrection. They were washed away on the cross. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus rose from the dead, it pointed back and was sure evidence that what he did on the cross was a great victory. That what he did upon the cross, when he said, it is finished, he meant it. And the work of redemption was complete.
Yes.
He said, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Because of this truth, that Jesus kept his word, and that the power of Jesus broke forth from the grave, and he raised again by the power of God, we have the sweet assurance that those dear old saints of God who have passed from this life are with the Lord in heaven. Jesus hadn't kept his word, the Bible plainly says here, they would be perished.
Right.
What a blessing to know that Brother Guthrie's father's in the Lord in heaven, that my father's not perished, but immediately upon breathing his last breath, he's in the presence of our Lord, our Savior, our Master and our Redeemer. We know that because Jesus kept his word and Jesus was raised again the third day. I will rise again. And he did. May God richly bless you.
Amen, brother.